to Outdoors Radio, brought to you by Lake Link, your online fishing resource, on the web at lake-link.com, and by Milford Hills Hunt Club, Wisconsin's only five-star shooting facility, on the web at milfordhills.com. I'm Dan Small, and I'm here in the studio with Jeff Kelm. Jeff, how you doing today?
Not too bad. I'm recovering from an exciting weekend.
I think you probably have a story to tell us.
I do. Huh? I do. The October gun hunt was last weekend.
Yep.
And got a chance to go out to where my parents actually live. They've been there. They've lived there for about 6 years now, and they've got 40 acres there. It's pretty much just marshland in between Wisconsin Rapids and Marshfield.
Okay.
And we got a chance to get up there to do the antlerless hunt Friday night. Got out Saturday morning, sat there for about 2 hours, and it was real, real foggy Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
So if anything came basically beyond 30 yards, I didn't see it. You couldn't see anything.
Yeah, okay.
The wind picked up during the day when the sun came out, and then I got back in the stand about 4 o'clock and was facing the sun most of the afternoon, but the wind was in my face
sure,
as well.
That's what you got to do.
And ended up sitting there until, I wanted to sit there till right till 6:30, you know, right at the close. And about 6:27, five deer came walking out from a neighboring property where I figured they would had been bedding down in these thick pines
sure.
near next to a tree farm, actually.
Sure.
And they came out and managed to get myself a big doe. She was probably the 3 to 4 year old doe.
Oh, great.
And she came out with four others, and they went running across the... But that was about a 45-yard shot with a 20-gauge shotgun that my grandfather gave me a number
cool.
of years ago. And it's about the only animal that I haven't shot with the 20-gauge.
With that gun,
so
huh?
I figured I'd give it a shot on the land, my dad's land. You know, 40 acres, it's not huge. You don't necessarily need
sure,
the rifle
sure.
out there. So,
yeah.
But yeah, it was a lot of fun, very successful hunt, and got a lot of meat out of it. It's already in the freezer.
Oh, great.
And... I was excited. I was almost shaking. I was so excited because it was the first deer that was taken on my dad's property so
far. Oh, neat.
And so a little bit of scouting that it took and
yeah.
a little bit of it was kind of funny too. There was a cornfield right to the east of him, right bordering his land. And he had been watching the land for me for a couple of weeks now, letting me know kind of where they're running to. And Friday afternoon, they finished cutting that field.
Wow.
The corn was gone. So he's like, well, I don't know where they're going to be now.
Right. And that's exactly what happens as our agricultural crops are harvested. The deer patterns change.
You bet.
And, of course, as the acorns fall, which they are doing, depending on where you are in the state, they're doing that now.
Yep.
The deer will be in there on the acorns. And, you know, you've got to scout kind
yeah.
of continuously
yeah.
throughout the season. But you did a smart thing. You must have set up your stand close enough to that bedding area.
Yep, it was close enough to the bedding area. I knew the bedding area wasn't going to change. Just I didn't know if they were going to change directions. They
yeah.
left the bedding area
yeah.
to a different field. And they actually wanted to go, looks like they were headed across my parents' land yet, to get to a field across the street. So I kind of
okay.
got lucky in that sense that they wanted to head the same direction.
Okay. And
so,
it's a good thing that Doe's watch was a little bit off and she left
right.
you 3 minutes or
that's
4
right.
minutes to shoot
just
her.
Just a couple of minutes. By the time she went down, it was pretty dark already.
You know? Okay.
Needed the flashlight to find her.
Yeah,
so.
All right.
But during the day on Saturday, I got a chance to enjoy a tour of the cranberry, one of the cranberry bogs in Wisconsin Rapids.
Uh-huh.
It was a Glacial Lake Cranberry farm, and they're harvesting cranberries this time of the year, and got a chance to kind of watch that operation and learn a little bit of history. We're the number one cranberry producing state in the United
States.
That's
right, and have been for a number of years.
Yeah, we have been for a number of years. It's a naturally produced a fruit in the state of Wisconsin
mm-hmm.
that the early settlers managed to plant and harvest in an agricultural sense, and we have been doing that ever since. And that sandy, silty soil in the center of the state, even into the northern, I think even Ashland County does some cranberry farming and things like that. That type of soil has been really good for the cranberry growers around here.
Yeah. Did you see the actual harvest where they float them on the water? And
they had some floating
yeah.
and actually harvested in a
boom.
Like it's a boom. Yeah,
yeah,
that's what they call it. They actually thank the oil industry for creating something
sure.
like that because it's the same setup that they use for captivating an oil spill. that okay. they use for captivating cranberries. And
You know, a number of years ago, we did a segment. Actually, I've done it twice now, two different cranberry marshes, but we've done segments for Outdoor Wisconsin. And the first one, they were less mechanized. I think it was 15 or 20 years ago.
Sure.
I was in hip boots out in the marsh with a rake and, you know, just for show. I don't think I harvested more than a bushel of berries, but we had a good time. So.
Sure. Yeah, it was a lot of fun to see, and it's great to learn that that's a part of the state's history. So
absolutely.
It's really neat.
Yeah.
And you were busy.
Oh, yeah, I was busy. Man, this was, I'll tell you what, last weekend was musky weekend for me. Yep. My brothers and my cousin and my son were in town, and my brother Mike and I actually kicked it off before the weekend started. We drove up to, he flew in from New York State, and we drove up to Park Falls.
Okay.
And actually, this, let's make this our Ashland Area Fishing and Hunting Report.
Okay, yeah, there we go.
Brought to us by the Ashland Area Chamber of Commerce and Ashland County Tourism on the web at visitashland.com. And I say that because Park Falls is just a couple miles south of Ashland, and we were in the Ashland County, Price County, Sawyer County corner. And if you look at a map, there's, you know, those three counties come together there. And fishing the Flambeau River.
Okay.
Now, the Flambeau River is one of the main tributaries to the Chippewa, and it's a tremendous bass and musky river.
I fished it myself,
yes. And this time of year, the bass are pretty much gone south. They go downstream and find deep holes, but the muskies are still active.
Yep.
And I was out, Mike and I were out with Larry Mann of the Hayward Fly Fishing Company the first day, and we actually ran into Steve Cervenka right there at the landing where we had planned to fish. And we were going to fish with him the next day. Steve was a little bit puzzled when I showed up. He said, "What are you doing here?" I said, "I'm fishing here." He said, "No, that's tomorrow." And I said, "Well, I'm meeting Larry." So anyway, when Larry got there, we ended up going to another landing. And it was a good thing because Steve fished the upper stretch, and we fished a lower stretch. And I won't say exactly where we are, but it was where we were. It was between Park Falls and way down the river. So there are several landings there. You can figure out pretty much where we were. And we fly fished.
Okay. Four muskies.
Four muskies.
Okay.
Yeah. And the first day with Larry, Mike, my brother Mike, caught a small muskie, but a nice one on a fly rod. And I caught two very nice northern pike, 30 plus inches, beautifully marked fish. And the northerns were in fairly shallow water. One was by a riffle, and man, he just came screaming across that riffle and hammered that fly. Boy, that was exciting.
Yeah, that is awesome.
And we had a great time. And then we compared notes with Steve that evening, and Steve had not seen a fish. And so next morning, with Steve and Roger LePenter of Anglers All in Ashland, and Steve runs Flambeau Guide Service, we went back to that same spot.
Okay.
Now, that night that I fished with Larry, I'm confusing my nights now, but one of those nights, we met Mike Huppie of Huppie and Abraham, the personal injury attorney here in the Milwaukee area, a good friend of mine, and I've hunted with Mike for many years, and he knew I was going to be up in the area, and he said, "Well, why don't you meet me for supper at Northwoods?" Now, that was actually Wednesday night, I think, at Northwoods in Fifield, and we did, and he had Craig Swenson with him, who was his guide for grouse hunting. He was staying at Boyd's Mason Lake Lodge, and they had a tremendous day. I think they'd gotten 8 grouse.
Wow.
And Craig said, "Why are you muskie fishing? You should be grouse hunting." And I said, "Well, you know, this is muskie weekend. Mike and I are up to do that." So anyway, then anyway, the guys grouse hunting have been doing very well up there. Craig said that flush rates are up from last year,
and the
Park Falls chapter of the Rough Grouse Society was having their dinner at the Northwoods the next night. So we talked to a couple guys who were helping set that banquet up, and they were coming from all over the country to hunt grouse and to come to this banquet. There were some guys from Tennessee and North Carolina, and a lot of quail hunters and southern boys who do have occasional grouse hunting in their states.
Sure.
But they say that, you know what, when we come up here, we'll see more birds in one weekend than we do all season down south. So we were kind of hoping for rain so they didn't shoot them all.
It didn't quite happen, huh?
It didn't happen, but it was great for us. And, you know, then the next day when we fished with Roger and Steve, Mike and I each caught, I think we each caught two muskies on the fly again.
Oh,
not big, but nice fish.
You know, yeah. Anytime you catch a muskie, it's a nice fish.
It
really
is, and we got them on camera, which is the best part of it.
Yeah.
And we're just exhilarating experiences, you know, catching the fish and then, of course, spending all day on the river in those drift boats, on river boats that are made for fishing out in the western rivers. And Larry Mann and his wife, Wendy Williamson, are the ones who actually brought those boats and that concept to Wisconsin. And Steve and Roger have done that themselves. And, boy, they're, you know, these folks all offer great fishing opportunities. And I think there's still a couple more weeks of that if folks want to try it. All right, we need to move on, but that fishing report was brought to you by the Ashland Area Chamber of Commerce and Ashland Tourism Council on the web at visitashland.com. And, you know, I called it Musky Weekend because the second half of the weekend, or yep, the actual weekend, I was at University of East Sox. And I'll save that report
okay
for when we talk with Steve Hiding, who is one of the instructors of that University of East Sox.
Okay, yeah, we got a couple other great guests,
Other guests coming up. We'll talk with Joel Kunz of WolfRiverCountry.com about fishing opportunities on the Wolf River. And we'll catch up with Keith Warnke, who is the DNR big game specialist, and find out what his experience was last weekend for that antlerless deer season. That was so good for you.
Yeah, it was great for me.
Right.
We also gave away the book, I've Got Your Tailgate Party, right here this weekend. Want to thank everybody that called in for those. And if you still want a copy of that, you can go to Jay's website.
Jay DiEugenio's website, which is yourtailgateparty.com. And you can check out where he's going to be this weekend. He'll be tailgating at some NFL stadium every weekend this season. All right, we'll be back with all that and more right after this.
Lake Link, the hottest website in the great outdoors, just keeps getting better and better.
Log on and get all the latest fishing reports posted by fishermen just like you. Check out Lake Link's hunting forums, great recipes, product reviews, moon charts, pros pointers, and weather center.
Lake Link has been providing up-to-the-minute hunting and fishing reports for over 10 years.
As a member of Lake Link, you'll have access to lake maps that you can customize. You can add rock bars, weed lines, and other structure not shown on printed maps. And Lake Link will put GPS coordinates on your map to mark your spots.
You can also sell your used fishing gear at the online trading post and have fishing reports sent directly to your computer.
The Lake Link Advantage program offers discounts to Lake Link members at outdoor establishments throughout Wisconsin and beyond.
You can also catch us, Dan and Judy, on the Lake Link radio page. That's lake-link.com, keyword radio. Listen to this week's show or catch any of our past shows and send us your ideas or enter our weekly drawings for great giveaways. All on the lake-link.com, keyword radio.
I spent a lot of time in the great outdoors, and I found that nothing cooks better or faster than a Camp Chef modular cooking system. It's great for cooking, grilling, frying, or even smoking. And these heavy-duty kitchens are built to go anywhere. Plus, if your power goes out, they're perfect as an emergency kitchen. Want to make a good thing that much better? Try customizing your Camp Chef kitchen with a complete line of accessories. So if you want high performance from a great portable kitchen, make Camp Chef your choice for great outdoor meals.
Camp Chef's lineup of outdoor cooking gear can help you prepare great meals outdoors anytime, anywhere. Slow smoke ribs in the smoke vault on a lazy afternoon. Get camp meals done fast and tasty with an Explorer stove. And be the envy of every other tailgater at the game using the big gas grill. Camp Chef, the way to cook outdoors. Now in your neck of the woods at Cabela's, Dick's, Gander Mountain, Lowe's, Mills Fleet Farm, Sportsman's Warehouse, and other fine outdoor retailers.
Milford Hills Hunt Club near Johnson Creek features Wisconsin's only five-star shooting facility and much more. Milford Hills is open to the public Tuesday through Sunday for upland bird hunting and fine dining in a first-class lodge restaurant. Let Milford Hills Hunt Club cater your client or corporate outing, fundraiser, wedding, or bachelor party. Check them out on the web at milfordhills.com or call 920-699-2249. That's MilfordHills.com or 920-699-2249.
Nothing like the sound when the day breaks.
Well, Jeff, I think it's time for a full-fledged fishing report.
All right.
My fun last weekend, and this report is brought to you by Mercury Outboards, Mercury number one on the water, and by Crestliner Boats, available at Cedar Lake Sales. And I was in my Crestliner boat much of the weekend.
Yeah?
And I've got a new degree, actually.
Yeah, you learned something this weekend.
I learned a ton of stuff. In fact, I learned so much at this University
idea of ESOX. And for folks who don't know ESOX from Red Sox, who are out of the
out of the playoffs,
out of it altogether, yeah. ESOX is the scientific name for muskies and northern pike, and maybe some other species too. And before I get deeper into this, let's bring Steve Heiding on. He is the managing editor of Muskie Hunter magazine, and he can tell us what ESOX is and what University of ESOX is. Steve, how are you today?
Good, Dan. Good to be on. Nice to hear you, Jeff.
Nice to meet you, Steve.
Yes.
Yeah, you recovered from last weekend?
Oh, absolutely. It's just a lot of fun, and I'm running on adrenaline all weekend anyway.
Yeah. Boy, I tell you, we all were. So was I right about ESOX? What does that word mean?
Well, it's part of the Latin name for the pike family, you know, the muskie, the northern pike, and the pickerel family. ESOX is the first name of it. For muskies, it's ESOX masconagi. For northern pike, it's ESOX lucius. And for the chain pickerel, I believe it's ESOX niger.
Uh-huh, okay. And so they are all members of the pike family. And then you have this great series of intensive seminars that you call University of ESOX.
Absolutely. We conduct 3 muskie schools per year, and what we try to do is to help people shorten their learning curve in muskie fishing. And I wish something like this was available when I got started muskie fishing 35 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that dates me. But but seriously, what we do is we have a week-long school and weekend-long schools where we bring in students from across the country. We've had them even from Australia and Canada, et cetera.
Okay, yeah.
And we've had some from Germany, the United Kingdom, you know, lots of people coming in, and we try to teach them how to muskie fish. And, you know, we kind of start with the basics and take it up to a level where, you know, if they've caught say 6 or 10 big muskies, you know, that 30-pound class or 50-inch class muskies, they don't need us. You know, they're doing fine on their own. But if they are a relative newcomer to a person who's caught some big fish and trying to become a little bit more consistent at the sport, well, we can help.
Yeah.
So now muskies are known as the fish of 1,000 casts or so. Now, can you shorten that to 500 in this schooling or what?
Well, no guarantees on that because you have to take it and run with it. But the fish of 1,000 casts, some call it the fish of 10,000 casts.
Sure.
I think that's a bunch of baloney. I've had it as the two fish and two casts sometimes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Two fish and three casts many times. You know, when you're onto something that's pretty hot and there's a pack of fish in an area. Certainly, if you're doing 10,000 casts between fish, you're doing something wrong.
Okay. Well, it's good that you brought that up, Jeff, because as Steve knows, last weekend I was trying to recover from the 2.5 grueling but enjoyable, very enjoyable days of fishing and seminars, and write an article for Wisconsin Outdoor News, and it's coming out in the next Outdoor News. And in fact, I addressed that question of actually what you guys did was you kind of set up a bunch of myths about muskie fishing, and you knocked them all down and gave us some new tactics and some scientific information. And I kind of did the math, and I figured we were at about one fish per 300 casts if everybody who caught fish was casting all day. I can do about 30 casts in an hour, you know, a couple minutes per cast, I guess. And our group of how many were there, 16 people?
We had 16 students, yes, Dan.
Yeah, and we caught 16 muskies.
Absolutely.
Well, there you go.
And
huh.
We fished probably at least, well, an average of 10 man-hours per person, and do the math, that comes out to a fish every 300 casts.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably a better average than I get out on the piers even fishing for kings and browns.
Oh, yeah, I think so. And, you know, Steve, you guys really run this like a user-friendly boot camp. I mean, gosh, we came in Friday night, had dinner, and they sat us down, and we had 2.5 or 3 hours of seminars. And got up at dark 30, and we were at the dock before the sun was up with more seminars. Now, why do you do it that way?
Well, we try to jam as much into a weekend as we possibly can, as many seminars and as much fishing. And what we want to do is to teach people what they need to know, you know, about muskie fishing, and then we get the fishing involved so that they can go out and try to get that positive reinforcement. And if they can go out and catch something today or tomorrow, what they just learned in a seminar, well, that's fantastic. I mean, people are just glowing and just so excited about it. And then, of course, they take it and run with it. And sometimes, you know, it doesn't result or we don't have results that quickly, you know, that somebody doesn't catch one the weekend. But what's just terrific is we'll get letters a week later, or a month later, a year, a couple of years later sometimes, from people, and they say, hey, I learned this at one of your schools. Here's a photo of the fish I caught. And that's why we do it. I mean, it's just a lot of fun to see somebody whose eyes have been opened to what's out there and how much there is to learn about muskie fishing. They learn it, they go out and fish, and they succeed.
Now, you said you do this a couple of times a year. I mean, do you primarily do it in the fall, or do you have a spring, summer, fall class, or how do you do this?
We have a school in Vilas County, Wisconsin, in St. Germain, and that's held at St. Germain Lodge and Fibber's Restaurant, and that's the weekend before Father's Day every June. That's a weekend-long school. We do a week-long school on Lake of the Woods at Sandy's Black Hawk Island Camp, and that's always the second or third weekend in July, week in July. And then we always have the fall trophy hunt, which we just had last week, and that's always the third weekend in October, and that's hosted by Angler's Haven Resort near Hayward.
Are you teaching basically the same things in each class? Or, I mean, you know, the one in June, maybe the tactics that you teach are a little different than the one you teach here in October?
Yes. The June school, we call it summer muskie tactics, and we cover quite a bit at that one just simply because so many different things can work to catch muskies in summer. The Lake of the Woods school is focused entirely on fishing in Canada. What we have there, the clientele we get for that school are people who have caught muskies in the States. They want to start fishing in Canada. They just don't know where to begin, and they're kind of intimidated by it. And what's kind of cool is we'll get people into that school who have, they'll see the water for the first time, and they're shocked because it's big water. But then by the end of the week, they're running 20 miles across the lake before they're fishing and navigating with confidence on Lake of the Woods. And the fall school is focused on fall tactics. And, you know, there's some crossover, like on muskie fundamentals and such like that. But, you know, certainly with the fall school, there are two tactics that work, you know, above and beyond everything else. One is the proper way of fishing live bait, and we do a major seminar on that. And then we also have one on high-tech trolling, because as the water gets colder, trolling becomes, you know, the best option on waters where it's legal. And Jim Sarek does a great, you know, Jim's my partner with the schools. He does a great seminar on high-tech trolling.
Yeah, he certainly does. And, you know, you had several what you might call muskie virgins at this school, folks who had never caught a muskie, and in my group. And, you know, my two brothers came from New York. My son flew in from Brooklyn. And, you know, you've known John for years. He has caught muskies before. And my cousin Brad drove up from Wheaton, Illinois. And Brad and Pete had never caught muskies. They did on this trip. And there was at least two other guys from Sheboygan County, too.
There were five different fishermen at this school who caught their first muskie.
Oh, all five did. Wonderful.
And I'm getting goosebumps right now because I get such a thrill out of, you know, helping somebody do that. And I had Joe Isley from Green Bay and Mike Spradow from Sheboygan in my boat on Saturday, and mm-hmm. Joe got a 38.5-incher, his first muskie. And then Mike got a 36-incher, also his first muskie. And then I had a, you know, great weekend. I also had a muskie for each of the guys in my boat on Sunday. And, of course, that was your son, John, and your brother, Mike.
Yep. And we had the Outdoor Wisconsin cameras there, and we taped, probably 5 or 6 hours of footage. We'll get three good, solid segments out of it, which is, you know, what I was after. And what a tremendous school, and just a great weekend of learning and fishing and camaraderie. And the food really was good, too. You told us it would be good, but, man, it was fantastic.
Well, all of our host resorts are just, you know, absolute top-of-the-line resorts. And a good friend advised me on this when Jim Sarek and I started the University of East Sox, and he said, people understand fishing. You know, fishing can be tough. But he says, you can control your effort. You can control the resorts and the food. And he says, if they go in there and the fishing's tough for the weekend, because, you know, if the fish aren't going to bite, you can't make them bite sometimes.
Yeah.
But he says, if the fishing's tough, but your effort is good and the food and lodging are great, he says they're going to have a great time. And so we've taken that to heart. And, of course, the resorts and the food that we have involved with our schools are just, you know, absolute top-notch. I mean, and as you found out, Angler's Haven is a beautiful place. The hosts, Bruce Sarek and Paul Wick, are terrific people, and of course, you know, the food was unbelievable.
It was out of this world, and I'll tell you, you know, seminars at 6:30 in the morning and then fish all day, you're ready for a big meal at dinner time, and they took great care of us. And Steve, I just want to thank you again for having us out there and for joining us here on the show to give folks a little more information about University of Esox. And if people want more information, what's the best way to get it?
Well, they can either call me at Muskie Hunter, and our 800 number here is 1-800-23-MUSKIE, which is 236-8759. Or they can go onto our website, which is Muskie Hunter, MuskyHunter.com.
All right. Well, Steve, thanks again, and we'll talk to you again soon. Good luck during deer season. I probably won't talk to you or see you until then, after then anyway.
All right, Dan. Nice talking to you and Jeff, and good luck hunting yourself, sir.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was Steve Heiding, managing editor of Muskie Hunter magazine, and this was a fishing report brought to you by Mercury Outboards, Mercury number one on the water, and by Crestliner Boats, available at Cedar Lake Sales in West Bend. This next portion of our show is brought to you by Midwestern Shooter Supply, located at Highways 41 and 67 in Lomira, on the web at mwshooters.com, and by the Ruffed Grouse Society, celebrating more than 45 years of habitat improvement for ruffed grouse, woodcock, and other forest wildlife. And Jeff, we've got kind of a combination hunting report and conservation report here.
Yeah.
With Keith Warnke, who is the DNR big game biologist. And Keith, last weekend was that October antlerless deer hunt, and I heard a lot of shooting, and I know you were out in the woods, so what have you heard?
Yeah, I was out in the woods Saturday morning in Polk County and heard a good deal of shooting. Actually, it was relatively quiet until right about 8 o'clock, and then apparently deer were moving because there was a lot of shooting going on.
Mm-hmm.
Driving the state from Madison to Polk County back to Madison on the weekend, too, I noticed a lot of orange all the way up and back. So I think people were out hunting.
I guess they were. You know, I was, as you know, I was musky fishing last weekend in a couple of places. And at one point, we were doing a TV show on the Flambeau River, and a guy came paddling down the river in a aluminum canoe loaded for bear, so to speak. I mean, he had camping gear in there. He was wearing blaze orange. We talked to him for a while. In fact, I'll even mention his name, and maybe he got a deer, and he'll call us and let us know. John Langlois from Rhinelander. And I said, John, what are you doing? And he said, well, I got my muzzle loader in case I get a close shot at a deer. I got my rifle in case the deer is long, you know, longer distance, and I got my musky rod. And we did see him later on at the takeout farther downstream, and he hadn't fired a shot, and he hadn't seen a fish. We caught a couple muskies, and we did hear shooting. We heard a couple of single rifle reports, which probably means somebody earned a buck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't think they have to earn a buck in that segment of the state, but
okay,
certainly somebody was harvesting an antlerless,
yeah,
which is good news. And you know, the one other thing that I've noticed just looking at our weekly license sales reports is, mm-hmm, that gun license sales are ahead of last year at this time.
Okay.
Ahead by a little bit, you know, more than 5%, which indicates to me that people are gearing up and like an October gun hunting season, because last year we didn't have an October gun hunt and our license sales were behind the previous years. For about the past 5 years, we've always been behind previous years in license sales, and this year's the first time we were behind until about a week ago, mm-hmm, and now we're substantially ahead.
Okay. Now, for folks who wondered, what were all those hunters doing out in the woods in blaze orange in October, what was that hunt all about?
Well, that was the October antlerless only deer hunt, and it was the first time outside of CWD zones that had been held in the last 3 years. And what that does is it just allows hunters an earlier chance to go out and harvest an antlerless deer in units where antlerless deer harvest is not limited. And in earn a buck units, it gives hunters a chance to get out and earn a buck sticker by killing an antlerless deer before the regular gun season comes around.
And why did we have it in October if we haven't done that for a while?
Well, we worked with hunters to try to identify a season structure that they thought was going to be as effective as the October antlerless hunt and more palatable to some of the interested parties. It turned out, though, that eliminating the October hunt, just we never were able to make up as much of the harvest with other tools as we can make up with the October four-day antlerless season. So based on pre-agreed to conditions, we didn't meet the benchmarks, and the October gun hunt returned.
Okay. Now, I'm sure it's way too early to know how many deer were taken last weekend, but do you have some anecdotal reports? Have you heard from around the state?
I haven't heard specific numbers from any registration stations, although I know at Barneveld on Thursday morning, cars were lined up six or seven deep for a while around 10:30 in the morning. And I heard, you know, from people who were talking about western Wisconsin and southwestern Wisconsin that registration stations were busy, and they felt that that was a pretty good thing, that some antlerless deer were being taken. But we'll be able to total it all up not until probably January when we do the final season totals.
Well, I know you can add one more to the total from me. I took one on Saturday night, and the registration station that I stopped at, actually the gal that was there working part-time decided she would stay late on her own time so that they could actually continue to register deer throughout the later on into the night so that they wouldn't have such a backlog the following morning.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really neat. And harvesting a deer, was it really windy near you on Saturday afternoon?
It was windier, yes.
I
wouldn't say it was super windy, but we probably did have gusts close to 20 miles an hour. But it died down just before dark, and that was the key time for it to die down. It was really foggy Saturday morning, too.
Now, the hunters are not the only ones who took a lot of deer last weekend, judging from the carnage I noticed on the highways. You know, I was up in the Hayward area and driving south. I didn't count the carcasses, but, gosh, there were a lot of dead deer. So this is the time that deer start moving or are moving, and maybe hunters moved them a little more than they would normally be moving. What do you think?
Well, I did talk to some people in this camp that I visited who said a week ago there wasn't any deer sign, there weren't hardly any, even the trails weren't being used, and then just this weekend when we were up there, there were scrapes all over the woods, deer moving, the trails looked like they'd been used, and in fact there were deer prints all over. So I think you're right, they're really coming into that portion of the fall where there's a lot of movement going on, and motorists should definitely be extra careful around dawn and dusk when a lot of that movement occurs. Deer are going to be out there in the roadways.
Now, I know part of what you were doing in your travels around the state is gathering some segments for the Deer Hunt 2008 TV show that you and I are doing on November 13th.
Yep. We were mostly doing what those of you in the business call B-roll.
B-roll, yes.
We were just getting hunters in stand, hunters with deer, tagging deer, hunters walking through the fields, stuff that we can show when somebody's given a fall forecast or talking about baiting and feeding or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a pretty successful weekend. Two really big bucks walked by the hunter we were following. And unfortunately, they were straight into the sun from where the cameraman was, so we couldn't get them, but we were pretty successful with the rest of it.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to that show, and we've been promoting it on our show. Are you getting some good questions from folks?
We are. We're getting a lot of good questions from people, especially who want to know things about how to tag a deer, things about putting stands on public land, how to properly attach blaze orange to a hunting blind, a ground blind on state-owned properties. There's a whole host of questions that we're going to try to address for people. The other thing we can mention for folks is that all of the previous shows from the previous 2 years are all on the web. So if you want to go back and watch some of those segments, which include SAK and baiting and feeding and CWD updates, you can go onto the DNR website and find those shows to watch.
Okay, just do a search for Deer Hunt TV show or something like that?
Yep, all you'd really have to do is head to the DNR homepage and click on Hunting and click on White-tailed Deer, and you can scroll down and find Deer Hunt TV show on that page right there.
All right. Well, Keith, thanks a lot for that report, and I will see you in a few days as we wrap up our taping for that show. And, folks, you want to make sure to mark your calendar and join me and Keith statewide on public stations November 13th, Thursday night at 8 o'clock. Thanks a lot,
Keith. Looking forward to it.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, Dan. Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Keith. All right. That was Keith Martke, DNR big game ecologist, and this report was brought to you by Midwestern Shooter Supply, located at Highways 41 and 67 in Lomira, Wisconsin, on the web at mwshooters.com, and by the Ruffed Grouse Society, celebrating more than 45 years of habitat improvement for ruffed grouse, woodcock, and other forest wildlife, on the web at ruffedgrousesociety.org.
You'll enjoy upland bird hunting at its finest, plus sporting clays and shooting instruction year-round at Milford Hills Hunt Club near Johnson Creek. Milford Hills also has a well-stocked pro shop and a stunning lodge and banquet facility eager to cater your special event. Check out the new automated sporting clay system on Sundays from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. and enjoy sporting clays now at reduced prices. Winter Sporting Clays League starts January 11th. Milford's fall upland bird hunting season started October 1st for pheasants, chuckers, and Hungarian partridge, with bird specials available. Call now to reserve a date for your personal or group hunting adventure, and you don't need to be a member to hunt or enjoy the bird specials. Let Milford Hills Hunt Club cater your client or corporate outing, fundraiser, wedding, or bachelor party. Located north of I-94 near Johnson Creek, Milford Hills Hunt Club is Wisconsin's only five-star shooting facility. Call 920-699-2249 or visit them on the web at milfordhills.com.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
Available now in stores and dealers near you, Ironclad Soft Bait Brands, as seen and demonstrated around the U.S. at major trade shows, Ironclad Soft Baits are taking the sport fishing industry by storm.
Discover why Bassmaster Magazine lists Ironclad's a hot lure buy for 08, and why Ironclad's won the overall Best in Show award at the Chicagoland Outdoor Show.
Take it from 2007 Co-Angler of the Year in the American Bass Anglers Grand Slam Series, Billy Applin.
Ironclad baits, they give me that competitive edge, win tournaments day in and day out.
Discover why nearly indestructible Ironclads are ushering in the soft bait revolution.
Or take it from Thomas Jones, 2007 National Champion of the American Bass Anglers Fishing Tour.
Yeah, I've caught 16 bass on one Ironclad lure, 3 hours.
Anglers, ask for Ironclad soft bait brands at stores and dealers near you.
Available online at buyironclads.com or call toll-free 877-513-3535.
No Child Left Inside is brought to you by Balistrary Environmental, working to assist their clients in reducing their environmental liability and hazards. And Jeff, you know, kids love fishing.
Generally they do, yes.
And summer is the time of year when most people think of taking kids fishing.
Sure.
But I bet you did some fall fishing when you were younger.
Oh, yeah. Living in Sheboygan, there's all kinds of fall fishing to do. So.
Yeah. And we've got a fall fishing expert on the line with us now, and this is Joel Kunz of New London, who kind of lives on the Wolf River, let's say. So, Joel, how are you today?
Good, Dan. How you doing? How you doing, Jeff?
Very good, Joel.
Hey, we're doing great. And, you know, I kind of set you up here. Wolf River and kids is... Is this, you know, the weather's cooling, it's kind of iffy with rain and snow even possible, I suppose, if you get it cold enough, and, you know, the water temperatures are dropping, but is this a good time to take kids fishing?
Yeah, absolutely, Dan. I know that you and I had done some kids fishing clinics before, and we talked about attention span being a really important thing in getting the fish to bite.
Yep.
And in the fall, it's a good time of year because generally, especially on the Wolf River, you got a chance to catch some exceptional fish and that are in the mood to bite. Everything from crappie, which are biting really good in the flooded timber along the riverbanks and the outside bends, and white bass come back into the river in the fall, and they're abundant right now. And as everybody knows, white bass can be easy to catch and provide a lot of action and good tug on the line. And then actually as the water gets colder, the fall is when I actually taught my kids to walleye fish, because the fish stack up in small spots, they bite real good usually, You don't have to be drifting and jigging as much. You can anchor up and work an area. And you get the kid a feel for it when there's less pressure on the water, less boat traffic, because a lot of the guys are in the woods.
Yeah, that's for sure. Everybody's out, not everybody, but a lot of people are out hunting, or they're making firewood, or they're watching the Packers, or they're doing something other than fishing. Now, why is this a good time of year for panfish?
Well, in the fall, the fish realize the shortening of the days, the cooling of the water, bait fish, and the small items that the fish feed on and the bait fish feed on are coming out of the shallows. As the weed dies, oxygen levels deplete in those areas. And so basically, with the falling of the water levels, too, they're drawn into the main river. And so they got to be somewhere, and so do the fish that want to eat them. So it's just a natural time of year for them to work themselves back up the river. And it's almost like a mock run. I've read some articles and some interesting stuff on it. It's like a mock run. The time of water temperatures are towards their spawning times. Daylight changes towards responding times, and there's usually a little bit extra flow in the fall from our summer low water levels. We usually get some influx of water, so that draws them into the river, and if there's food, they'll stay and eat.
Uh-huh. Now, in some cases, isn't this a staging run for spawning?
Yeah, in some cases, you know, they will stage all along the river, you know, and it's, you know, different groups of fish will do different things in a vast system like the Winnebago system. Mm-hmm. I like to think of it like flying down the expressway between here in New London and Milwaukee. You know, I've got lots of fast food choices, dinner choices, food choices all along the whole circuit. And depending on where I want to be, you know, towards, you know, the next stage in my life, you know, in my day, you know, that's where I'm going to stop, you know. And I think that happens on the system. Some fish will come real early. You know, if we get a lot of water, we'll draw more fish into the system, and a lot of them will stay, and some of them will drop back down and roam Lake Poygans and Winnebago and or Winneconne and Poygan and stuff like that. But a lot of them will stay in the river and just stage in the deep holes and wait for spring, you know, and that's the fish that we target right up till ice up, and it's, again, a great time to bring kids fishing, because if you want a kid to catch his first walleye and he hasn't caught one, you know, if you can keep them warm, keeping them warm, that's the important thing, you know, and dressed right, and you can usually get the fish to bite.
Well, if you dress them for ice fishing and put them in the boat, then they should be comfortable, huh?
Yeah, I think the biggest mistake I see on the boat in the fall is lack of attention to, you know, the ice fishing, like footwear, even.
Yeah.
They think, because the bottom of the boat's going to be cold, you know. And especially in an aluminum boat, you know, if you don't have a floor, and you know, and small boat, you know, this is perfect small boat time of year too, you know.
And the launches are open still?
Launches are open, wide open, yeah. And there's plenty of them. You know, that's a nice thing. You don't have to run a lot of boat gas. There's launches all up and down the river from Fremont, Red Banks, Wylands Landing, Gill's Landing, Goose Resort. You know, downstream from New London and in New London, there's numerous landings, so it's easy to fish any part of the river that the fish are biting. And right now, they're pretty much biting all over the river. There's white bass all the way to New London and all the way down to Lake Poygan, and crappies all over the place, any place there's flooded wood, and the white bass and the walleyes are in the deeper water. Right now, lots of white bass.
Mm-hmm.
Walleyes, you know, some guys are having good days at catching walleyes, but they're a little tougher to get to with so many white bass in the river, and that'll get better as the water cools.
Okay. What are you using for bait?
Jig and minnow, you know. Jig and minnow, that's, you know, a lot of times this time of year you guys can go to a Wolf River rig and a you know, a three-way with a fly or something, but the current's really low, so right now a jig and a minnow is probably your best bet for whatever's biting.
Okay. And now, do you post reports on your website?
Yep, wolfrivercountry.com.
All right.
I got my blog there, so I post reports and answer questions and try to help out people as much as I can. And it should be a great fall. There's lots of fish in the system.
Okay. Well, folks, there's still plenty of time to fish, and if you get a couple warm days, why not take your kids out? You heard from Joel that the Wolf River is full of panfish and walleyes, and a great opportunity to get some fish. Thanks a lot, Joel.
You bet, Dan. Nice talking to you. Nice talking to you, Jeff.
Thank you, Joel.
That was Joel Kunz talking about the great fishing on the Wolf River, and this segment was our No Child Left Inside segment, brought to you by Balestrary Environmental. working to assist their clients in reducing their environmental liability and hazards.
Sportsman's Warehouse is America's premier outfitter. Your new Berlin Sportsman's Warehouse is a Wisconsin-owned company that features everyday low pricing with the most knowledgeable staff in the industry. On the rare occasion a local competitor has a lower price, your Sportsman's Warehouse store will do everything they can to meet or beat that price. You'll find the best prices on great brands like Danner, Finelli, Remington, PSE, Browning, St. Croix, Filson, Drake, and many more at Sportsman's Warehouse.
Midwestern Shooters Supply is the place to go for great deals on all your outdoor gear. Stop in today at the corner of Highways 41 and 67 in Lomira, or check them out online at mwshooters.com. Save 20% now on all camouflage clothing. Get ready for the antlerless deer hunt October 16th through 19th. Stop in for great prices on guns, ammo, and accessories. Are you sighting in your rifle or shotgun? Check out these October specials. Get two pairs of earmuff hearing protectors for $10. And you can save 20% on all other hearing protection and targets. And if you need a rifle, shotgun, new scope, or other accessories, Midwestern Shooters Supply has plenty of choices at great prices. Don't wait until November, or what you want might not be available. Visit Midwestern Shooters Supply today. Call 920-269-4995 or shop online at mwshooters.com. That's 920-269-4995 or mwshooters.com.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society, toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
This part of our show is brought to you by Milford Hills Hunt Club, Wisconsin's only five-star shooting facility, on the web at milfordhills.com. Now, Jeff, Outdoor Wisconsin always features some hunting and fishing segments, but this next week we're going to have a little bit of a different angle, let's say. Judy is looking for timber rattlesnakes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, with DNR biologist Bob Hay. And not to hunt them because they are endangered, but just to kind of monitor the population, see where they are.
And we find those in the state of Wisconsin?
Absolutely. Okay. In hilly, rocky bluff country along the Mississippi and some other places where we've got some caves and rock bluffs for them to hide in.
Oh, wow.
And we'll also talk with the children of conservation pioneer Aldo Leopold about the Aldo Leopold Legacy Center. I think we've got two of his children, Nina Bradley and Carl Leopold, who are talking about their father's legacy and the Aldo Leopold Foundation, which is continuing on the work that he did.
Very good.
But we've got events coming up, don't we?
You bet. The New Berlin Sportsman's Warehouse has a meat processing, sausage making, and smoking workshop that is Tuesday, November 4th at 6 to 8 p.m. Topics will include meat grinders, mixers, slicers, tenderizers, and the workshop will also cover dehydrators, food savers, sausage stuffers, and smokers. If you want some more information about that or any of the other events going on at the New Berlin Sportsman's Warehouse, you can give them a call at 262-641-2000 or visit them online at sportsmanswarehouse.com.
And the Ruffed Grouse Society has a banquet in Houghton Lake, Michigan on Saturday, November 1st. And other banquets coming up next month as well. For details on these and other upcoming events, log on to ruffedgrousesociety.org. And Milford Hills Hunt Club's hunting season is open. There are no events scheduled right now. It's pretty much hunting and private banquets and parties. So if you're interested in hunting at Milford, remember you don't have to be a member to hunt there or to take advantage of the bird specials. For more information, log on to milfordhills.com or call 920-699-2249.
There's also a deadline for permits coming up.
That's right. The sturgeon spearing season that happens in February. It's way down the road.
Yep.
But your deadline for buying your sturgeon tags for the Lake Winnebago system, if you want to spear in February, deadline is October 31st. So don't miss that. We're about out of time for this week's show. You've been listening to Outdoors Radio, brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource, on the web at lake-link.com. And by Milford Hills Hunt Club, Wisconsin's only five-star shooting facility, on the web at milfordhills.com. With Jeff Kelm here in the studio, I'm Dan Small. Join us again next week.
I'll be trolling home to you.
gets a little chilly.